Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Horror, Wine, and Crime with KK and Lo. And boy, did it take some work to get started today.
Hey, yo, hey. You know what? It wouldn't be us if we didn't have to work for it, so.
Yeah, we've been on like a decent streak, you know, the last however many months. I mean, there's been moments, but like overall it's been good, so. We're doing good.
You noticed last week, if there might have been a few minutes where it felt like it was like dead air, it's not that we were bored and just not talking. It's that there was a small lag. We did a lot of things today before recording, so we're hoping we fixed it and we're good to go.
Yes, yes. Fingers crossed there. Quickly, too, before we get into the story, I do want to say that I watched, I finished the Gabby Petito documentary.
Okay.
And I think that mofo is still alive. That's my theory.
You think he's still alive?
Yes, because I saw online, they didn't say it in the documentary, but I saw that, you know, they confirmed that it was him because of his dental records, but his uncle, who is a dentist, is the one that did it.
Oh, I guess I didn't catch that part.
And his parents were the one that found him, even though they were searching for, like, the people were searching for, like,
yeah, but there was cops and stuff with them when they found it.
Okay. That's true. I don't know. A lot of people, I'm, like, down the rabbit hole of.
Okay.
There's people like all over being like, he's still alive. I know he's still alive. So now I'm like, I'm kind of on that train, but who knows?
Yeah. I know there's another theory too. I guess there's a, I don't know if it was a couple or if it was a girl and a mom. I don't know, but there was another murder that was right there in that town-ish. And they're thinking he might be connected to that as well.
Man, maybe he's just a full-on serial killer or whatever. Gosh. And then I also watched, it's called Devil in the Family. It's on Hulu. And it's like the Ruby Frankie story, which basically is this lady who got like millions of subscribers on YouTube doing like family vlogs or whatever. I never watched her channel because I'm not into like the family vlog watch parties, or you know. But she got arrested for child abuse just last year or like a year and a half ago or something. And so the whole documentary like shows everything, like it shows unedited clips that she never uploaded that they like got a hold of her like screaming at the kids and like just going through the whole story. And it's really wild if you're interested in watching it.
I will check it out for sure. I'm always taking that kind of stuff down. I haven't really done any crimey stuff lately besides, you know, research for our show and stuff. I've been watching Younger. Which is just
oh, like, I've heard of that.
It's just like a trendy, like a 30 minutes long ish. I don't think I really been. I've been doing my puzzles because I'm old and boring, and then I've been, like I said, I've been trying to get back into reading again.
Yeah.
So I've been working on books. I am reading one of them. I'm reading two, but. One is called The Evil Queen, and it's kind of interesting. It's like our time now, and she's kind of like a descendant. She's like the niece of the original Evil Queen, and it talks about like, it's kind of like parallel and all connected with like Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs and the Evil Queen and all that. But it's like they're kids. But when you're reading it, so she's trying to, so her mom dies and then she finds out that she's really the Evil Queen's daughter and she was adopted and like all this stuff. So she goes back into like that dimension. But before that, she could see like, she could talk in mirrors like the Evil Queen did, right?
Oh yeah.
And like all this stuff. But then once she gets there, it's kind of like Disney-esque. But there's a little bit of Game of Thrones in there. It's kind of like sexy and wild and fighting. And I'm like, okay, so this is kind of like Game of Thrones meets Disney. It's kind of interesting.
Huh.
So
that sounds like a cool one.
Yeah, I know. You should start reading.
I know. I'm the worst. I like audiobooks.
Yeah, I'm kind of listening to some of it on audio too, because it's a 508-page book, which I can read, but I'm also reading The Silent Patient. And then I bought three books the other day, and I'm like, oy vey, what am I doing? Here I go again.
So you got a list. You got a list to go through.
Oh, God. I have a TBR, which is to be read pile. That's probably like 56 books long. I have a ton of them, but yet I still buy more, so...
Well, there's so many books, so you'll never run out of a TBR list, honestly.
They never do.
Because there's just endless.
Yeah.
Endless amounts.
There's a group of us, and yeah. But speaking of books, I don't know what your story is, but I'm seeing big glimpses of the word Twilight.
Yes.
So I'm interested to see, because we gave her homework, so let's see what she came up with.
Yeah, I was going to say, I don't know if you guys didn't listen to last week's episode. First of all, go back and listen. But I had an assignment to try and like go with like a mystical theme. And safe to say, you know, there's really not that many. There's very limited true crime stories out there that revolve around like werewolves and like Bigfoot, fairies, those kinds of things. But as I was like looking for ideas, I happened to kind of find this crazy story, and it's called The Twilight Murders. And no, they were not vampires, unfortunately. But the movie Twilight, you said book, but like specifically the movie, you know, the one about vampires and werewolves. So I kind of stuck on theme.
Yeah, you know, it was a book first, girl. Okay.
I know. But the movie specifically was involved in this one.
Same thing, just one's on paper.
Right.
One gives more details.
One's probably better. The book, I feel like most people think is better. But yeah, it definitely played a big part in this crime, hence the name. So yeah, we can definitely get into it. So sorry I didn't fully stick to the theme, but like it's kind of there, right? Just like kind of.
It's okay. Okay. It's gonna be good. I can tell.
High hopes. I love it. So this story is about a girl named Kim Edwards.
So is Edwards, is that a ding ding ding?
I know, like Edward Cullen. I was thinking that too. I'm like, that's kind of like
right off the bat, right?
Yeah, we're already like connected to it. but she was a teenage girl, and she is the girl who killed her mother and her sister. I got a lot of this info from BBC News and The Sun. This is an England story, whatever, however you want to say it. So I will not be reading it in my English accent, unfortunately, for you guys.
Hey, my witch story was last week, so we got that too.
Okay, see, so I'm sticking kind of on theme. There's like some themes that are like intertwined. I'm like, you know, loosely sticking to it.
Mine was just like a couple centuries before this.
Yeah. This is a little more up to date. And there's less magic. There's literally no magic involved in this one. So a little background, starting off with Kim's mom. Her name was Elizabeth Joyce. She went by Liz. She was born around 1967 in Edinburgh, England. She eventually moved to south of Scotland, and she had her first child at the age of 23. And it was a girl named Mary. And that was around 1990 when she had Mary. Details about Mary's dad aren't really available, and it doesn't really matter or pertain to this story. But basically, it didn't work out between Liz and Mary's dad. But eventually, Liz met another dude and married him, and his name was Pete Edwards. And they had their first child together on June 13th, 2001, and that was Kim Edwards. Now, Liz and Pete didn't have the best relationship. Wasn't really great. But despite that, they ended up having a second child about a year and a half later. So it was Kim's younger sister, Katie Edwards. Now, only months after the birth of Kim's younger sister, Katie, their dad, Pete, left. He was described by some people, also including Liz's oldest daughter, Mary, as a very violent man. So it was probably for the best that he left. And a lot of people say that the split was a mutual decision, but afterwards, you know, Liz really didn't want her children to be in contact with him just because of how he was, and he wasn't really a safe, stable guy to be around. You know, she believed that he would be a bad influence on the girls. So Liz just ended up taking care of her three daughters completely alone over the years. And yeah, she just was a single mom, and Pete had no involvement. So over the years, the relationship between Liz and Kim was a constant state of distress. Like, they just were butting heads always, and there were issues between them. You know, Liz and her other daughters didn't have this. It was just her and Kim that really kind of butt heads and were not always in a great place. Kim grew up believing that her mother favored her younger sister, Katie, and she, like, almost developed this, like, fantasy of her dad, Pete, being a good guy and just, like, coming back, saving her, rescuing her from her mother and, like, saving the day. Clearly that was not the truth, but in Kim's mind, that's kind of what she had envisioned. So now that we kind of have, like, the backstory of the fam, we'll get into the crime details. So, like I said, you know, I spoiled it. She killed her mom and her sister. So, yeah. Kind of where it goes from here, you know, how did their relationship turn so bad to the fact that she decided to kill them? And it was so interesting, you know, the judge kind of notes too, while in court, you know, the killings were very cold and brutal of her mom and her sister. But, like, when you looked at Kim sitting in the courtroom, she just, like, looked very shy and timid. And she was a young teenager. So it's like, it just seemed like, how the heck did this even happen? It kind of reminds me of that one recent story of that girl, that teenage girl, I think she was 13 or 14, who just, like, shot her mom. And, like, it caught, like, they had, like, video cameras, like, Ring security cameras, and it, like, caught her, like, walking around the house, like, about to do it, and then you can hear her shooting her. It just reminds me of her, because she just seems very, like, withdrawn and, like, quiet, and you wouldn't think that she would just, like, go and kill her mom. But, you know, the courtroom in Nottingham heard the details of everything and uncovered it all. Basically, Kim and her boyfriend, his name was Lucas Markham. They were both 14 at the time. They had plotted for days to cut their victims' throats as they slept in the family home in Spalding, Lincolnshire. So this was not like a in the moment type of crime. Like, they were, like, plotting this beforehand. So, basically, Kim had said that she held a grudge against her mom. She had a lot of resentment built up because her mom's relationship was so close with her younger sister, Katie. She says that was the motivation for the murders. And, you know, Kim gave police and psychiatrists really in-depth detail of everything that happened. She told one psychiatrist, "I wanted to get revenge for the way that she treated me. I did it because I did not like my mom at all, and I didn't want her to ruin or corrupt anyone else. I didn't feel anything for my mother. She deserved it, and I'm glad she's dead." So she, like, has no regrets.
This is, like, the story you've told similar to this. It was, or maybe I did. I don't know. One of us did.
One of us.
The sister killed the mom and the daughter over, I think it was money. She thought she was going to get the inheritance.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I remember that. That was not too long ago.
Yes, I wish my brain could remember the names, but they don't. So just go back and find it, creepies. But
yeah, yeah. It was like within the last couple months, I'd say, probably.
But this is the vibes that I'm getting.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Except that lady was an adult then. This girl's like 14 years old. But yeah, she also told detectives, she said, ever since I was young, I never got on with my mom. She always favored my sister. So their address was 5 Dawson Avenue. It was a 3-person household because her Liz's oldest daughter, Mary, had already moved out. She was older than the other girls. But Kim being there with her mom, Liz, and her sister, Katie, she just really felt like left out overall. She didn't feel loved by her mom and she just felt unwanted. And like, that's so sad if that's how she really felt. I don't know exactly, you know, what went on that made her specifically feel that way. But it's like, maybe just like find your people and distance yourself without committing murder. You know, that's just a suggestion.
Yeah, I mean, there's other things we could try first, I'm sure.
Yeah, other options. But yeah, so the court heard that, you know, there were issues between Kim and her mother, Liz, that could be traced back to January of 2008. So Liz, I guess, on this one particular instance, had hit Kim in the face, and she was 6 at the time. Liz wasn't known to get physical or abusive ever. It was not like a thing. This just happened one time, and I guess the incident occurred because a television got broken somehow. And you know, Liz even felt so bad after she hit her. She turned herself over to like social services because she just like felt so terrible about it. Now, it must have been pretty significant, I would assume, because Kim and Katie were placed in care for several months. So she must have hit her like pretty hard is what I'm assuming. But you know, I mean, apparently it was just a one-time incident and she did feel so bad as to turn herself in for it. But yeah, I don't know.
Which, I mean, I get the remorse she's trying to do, but like maybe send her to auntie's or grandma's, take a break. Going straight to social services, like you can't take that back, you know? Like,
oh, right. Because it's all like filed. And then also you don't know, what if you can never get them back like in the future? Who knows? Yeah.
But I guess she did what she felt she had to do.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know exactly like if she had like close family that could take them or anything like that. So I don't know. I don't know exactly her situation. But yeah, I'm assuming she hit her pretty hard to get them placed in care for, you know, several months. So social services closed the file on their family later that same year. But, you know, Liz said later that she really believed Kim never truly forgave her for that incident. And the issues between them just kind of kept growing and really came back to the surface in 2013, and just got worse and worse, like problem after problem over the next 3 years. So in September of 2013, Liz told Kim's teacher that her daughter was planning to run away. And by March of that next year, she told them that their relationship had improved. So she never ran away or anything like that. So I feel like they were kind of back and forth all the time with, you know, they were doing really bad or things were getting a little bit better, but then it would like go bad again type deal. So 8 months later, after Liz had told her teacher that her and Kim were doing better, Kim told support workers that her mother had tried to strangle her. But this was denied by both Liz and her sister, Katie. So I'm not sure if that was true or not. You know, it could have been true because there was that history of that violent act before. Or it could have just been Kim trying to get rid of her mom or get her in trouble before she decided to ultimately resort to murder. So I don't know. It's kind of like a she said, she said type thing. Now, in January of 2015, Liz asked her doctor, her general practitioner, for family therapy. So she had arranged an emergency psychiatric appointment after she discovered a suicide note that was left by Kim. And following the assessment, no evidence of mental illness was found for Kim. So they didn't, you know, have any like, you know, like medicine to give her or like treatment plans really, because they didn't find any signs of mental illness. And in August of that same year, the Child and Adolescent Mental Health Services in the town of Lincolnshire reported Kim's relationship with her mother was much better, but Kim was just overall feeling left out of the family triangle. And then a few months later in May, Kim started dating her boyfriend Lucas. They ran away from home in the month of October before they were discovered 6 days later sleeping in the woods north of Spalding.
Oh, so they had a plan.
Yeah, so they first ran away, but then they were definitely found.
No, I meant like they wanted to be together that much that they're going to sleep in the woods.
Oh, yeah. And sorry, Liz, like, oh, go ahead.
I was going to say, at that age, sorry, no boy worth it. I'm just going to leave my cozy room to sleep in the woods with you out in nature.
Mm-hmm. Sorry. I can't. I couldn't do it. I'm like, hopefully, I doubt they even had like a tent or anything either. Not worth it. And clearly it escalated, so very not worth it. But yeah, Liz really disapproved of Kim's relationship with Lucas. She was not a fan. She did not want them to be together. And, you know, like I said, Kim and Lucas, who were 14, they became absolutely obsessed with the film series, you guessed it, Twilight. Here's where it comes in. They were like completely obsessed with it, as I feel like most 14-year-olds were at the time. They looked at the main characters of the movie, if you don't know, Bella and Edward. They like looked at them as a version of themselves. They like felt like they were just so in love, wanting to be together, but the world and the people in their lives didn't want them to be together. You know, they felt like people were constantly trying to tear them apart, but like Bella and Edward, they believed that they were just like destined to be together. So it was quite the dark, twisted version of like Romeo and Juliet, if you ask me.
I prefer the Gomez and Morticia, but to each their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So in the weeks before her death, Liz had like forbidden Lucas to go to their house. So the couple would just like meet in the garden, and like, you know, people had just described them as a time bomb wanting to go off. So Kim had told the psychiatrist that by this stage, her life had become like a living, walking hell, she says. And she said in March, she tried to kill herself by taking an overdose of painkillers. The following month, the fast deterioration of their relationship between Kim and her mom blew up. And this is when the real craziness really happened. So in court, psychiatrist Dr. Philip Joseph and Dr. Landrill Shakrabadi, so sorry if I butchered that, I'm sure I did. It was quite the name. They really, after like reviewing Kim and really talking to her and doing like sessions with her, they tried to explain what led to the killings. So Dr. Joseph, who was for the prosecution, he blamed the toxic, you know, Bonnie and Clyde relationship between Kim and Lucas. He said that Kim had, you know, been suffering from like mental disorder, but like nobody like recognized it. And she really was struggling to feel a part of her family unit. He said in that triangle, she felt very much left out. She felt that her mother was very much more attached to her younger sister. He said that she told him the family dynamic made her feel unhappy and that she was jealous of her sister. And she felt the only solution was to kill her mother. I feel like there are so many other solutions, but I mean, that's definitely one solution, I guess, but probably not the most helpful one.
Yeah, I mean, there might have been a few other things, like I said, that we could have tried first.
Right, baby steps, you know? Let's work out the steps first. Kim had literally told him, she said, I was getting rid of the only problem that I could see. I thought it would have been better for my sister to die too. She said, I was not killing my sister out of anger and I miss her, but I was excited about killing my mother and I was looking forward to it.
It's so evil. My gosh, that's
scary. Oh,
gross.
It makes me not want to have kids. Like, how scary. So now Dr. Chakrabarty, who was for the defense, he said that he came to the conclusion that she had an adjustment disorder and had longstanding attachment issues as a result of her strained relationship with her mother. He said that the disorder had been brought on by just a series of stressful events, including Lucas being expelled from school and then her attempting to kill herself. He also pointed to a row between Kim and her mother on April 9th, where Liz told Kim that she would turn out like her father. Like they were having a fight and, you know, she basically was like, you're going to end up like your dad. And obviously, as we talked about at the beginning, he left their home when she was just 2 years old. And so he's saying that kind of like triggered something in Kim. And after the argument, Kim had gone to Lucas's house and they just like barricaded themselves in his room overnight. When Kim came home, she found her mother had bagged up some of her stuff and given other stuff of hers to her sister. So I think she was just like spiraling after all of this. Like she really, this was making her really hate her mom. You know, she even told the doctor that her mother's actions had left her feeling like she didn't even belong to the family anymore. So, were you going to say something?
I was going to say all because of a stupid boy.
It's always that, I feel. I feel like it's always that. That's like the main drive of, I feel like, a majority of these things. It's crazy. So after this all happened and like she like bagged up her stuff and like all that, the next day is when her and Lucas began plotting the killings. So to kind of go over like everything that happened, on the night of the murders, Kim let Lucas into the house through like the bathroom window for him to sneak in. And he had brought a bag of knives with him. Lucas took out one of the knives and he like crept into Liz's room and he stabbed her through the throat. He stabbed her 8 times. While smothering her with a pillow to stop her from like screaming out.
Okay, so that was like really brutal.
Very brutal. Yeah. And originally Kim was going to like help him, but then she like backed out. Like she didn't want to actually do the killings. She just wanted to like, you know, allow him to do them apparently. So yeah, she wasn't in there, but he was just going crazy, stabbing her into the room. He then, right after that, went into her little sister Katie's room and stabbed her 2 times in the neck while she was asleep.
Oh,
It's like, how can you do that? Like, I don't know. Like, obviously she had major issues with her mom and like beef with her mom, but like your little sister who you didn't even have a problem with and you say you miss now, why would you like allow someone to like murder your little sister? It's just terrible. So there was literally, when I say there was no regrets, there was no regrets at all, because following the murders right after, Kim and Lucas had sex on a mattress in the living room, ate ice cream, and then decided to watch their favorite vampire themed movie and do a movie marathon of all the Twilight films. So twisted.
Oh my gosh, they're such grown-ups now. They have no one telling them what to do. They can do whatever they want. They can eat ice cream. They can watch movies all night. Like, oh my gosh.
Literally, oh my so God. Crazy. Ugh. And it's like, you know, he like stabbed them in the neck and then they watch like a vampire movie right after. I'm like, ugh, just that also just doesn't sit right with me. Yeah, so they did a full-on movie marathon of all of their favorite Twilight movies. And over the next day and a half, they just stayed at the house. Like, they didn't even leave. They ignored any visitors, like people coming, like Lucas's aunt and police officers that were sent to the property to like look for them, because they had been reported missing from school. And, you know, Lucas's family was like, where are you? So it wasn't until police forced their way into the house through a downstairs window that the teenage couple were discovered. So police chief Alistair Pullen, who was the first officer to enter the house, he said that when he asked where Mrs. Edwards, aka Liz, was, Lucas, he said, quote, looked at me clean in the eye and said, why don't you go up and see? So creepy. And like, he gives no fucks. That's just like pure evil. You know what I mean? Like the way that he said it.
He's the devil.
Literally. And Kim would also tell Dr. Joseph later, she said, we felt laid back about what had happened. Neither of us felt that bad about it. Like, what? You feel laid back about, like, the fact, too, that he just, like, stabbed them in the neck, killed them, and then they're, like, sitting in the house with their dead bodies for days is just so wild to me. And then she didn't even care. Oh, so, the detective chief, Marian Holvey, who was the one that led the murder investigation, he said the actual after effects are probably the most chilling. The fact of what happened in those 36 hours after and how they carried on as normal, just watching TV, watching movies, going upstairs, you know, using the toilet where people are just laying upstairs dead. He said it beggars belief. And he said he believed that, like, the killings had been a result of just a combination of issues. You know, he says, I guess many people through life, especially younger kids, when they say, I hate you or I'm going to kill you, they don't really mean it. It's like kind of a throwaway comment that a lot of people say, but they don't actually like mean it. They're just like being dramatic about things. But clearly in this scenario, she was not kidding or being dramatic. It's just kind of craziness that it got to that level. And, you know, they say the whole truth of what happened in their family home will probably never be known, because Kim's just really coy with it and just like nonchalant. Like, yeah, I just hated her. She just like, we just didn't vibe. So I just killed her. And the jury, you know, they did not accept Kim's versions of events and how she explained it. You know, they decided that she did not have a psychological condition, which would have diminished her responsibility and, like, you know, maybe got her a lesser sentence or something. Yeah, they just came to the conclusion as a jury that she was a 14-year-old girl who was so, like, filled with hate for her mom that she decided to kill her and her younger sister as well, who she was like jealous of.
And I'm looking at the picture of this couple and they look like babies. I mean,
I know, they're so young. It's crazy.
I'm like, oh my God. The boy looks like he's even younger than her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He actually reminds me of that other killer. He was a young boy. He's the one that killed. He was obsessed with the girl. He killed the girl, stabbed her 147 times. They were best friends. Apparently, he wanted more. She did not.
Oh, yeah. I can't think of his name. I know who you're talking about, though. But yeah.
I never remember the names. But
I know, because there's always just so many names. That's crazy. I know. They literally look like they're 10 years old to me. But
she was a cheerleader from Florida. I'm getting there. I'm getting there.
You're making your way there.
Making my way downtown. Walking. Oh, the Aiden Fucci.
Okay. See, I'm glad you got there because I wouldn't have.
He looks like the same kid. And that kid kind of like looked young too.
Yeah.
And I'm like, God, these guys are like kids. Like, how do you, how do you get there?
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. Oh, you're showing me something. Sorry, I was on my other screen. Yeah.
So if you see kids that look like that, stay away. If your boyfriend, kid's boyfriend looks like that, like, he's probably not good.
Yeah, he's probably not going to make good decisions. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think it went deeper than just her hating her mom. Like, I definitely think, like, mental health played a huge role into how everything unfolded, not only with Kim, but obviously with Lucas as well. Like, they had a lot of mental issues going on, because to do that is just, like, sinister and...
Well, to even get your mind in that mindset, like, yeah, we all say intrusive things like, oh my God, I'm so going to kill her. But you don't really think, oh my God, she's really going to do it. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah. It's just like an expression.
Yes. But to even toy with the idea, to even say, you know, do we think we should, or how would we do it? Like, to even toy with it, you have to have something not connecting up there, and then to actually mm-hmm. go through with it, like
something's really not connecting.
Yeah, except all she did was help with the plan, put it together. I don't know, she fed him to do it, but then blood's not on my hands, he did it.
Yeah, that kind of gives me like Gypsy Rose vibes too, because like her boyfriend was the one that killed her mom, and he's like, you know, serving a really long sentence in prison, and she's like out and free and has a baby now and stuff like that. But it's like she just was like, here, you do it, you do all the dirty work, I'm just gonna like let you do it
and then move on and have another life without you.
Yeah. Yeah, really. So twisted.
Sorry I ruined yours, but thanks.
But thanks, I'm good now. So kind of going back to Kim's older half-sister, so Liz's first child, Mary, she was obviously the only member of the family to not be killed. She lived in Derby with her husband and children. Like I said, she was older, so she kind of had her own life going on, so she wasn't in the house. But before the killings, you know, Mary had doubts also about Kim's relationship with Lucas. She said it was very intense, and she always tried to like talk to Kim about it, but Kim was just very like, you know, stubborn about it. Mary said, I thought this pair is a ticking time bomb waiting to go off. I knew right away that there was something I did not like about him. She said, I knew he was trouble. I just didn't realize he would be this extent of trouble. I mean, who would think that, really? She probably just thought he was like, you know, a teenage boy who just like was up to no good, but like not like murder up to no good type stuff.
Right.
You know, Liz would call Mary a lot at the time when she was 26 at this point. And, you know, she would just talk to her about things, how things were going. And she would say, you know, I'm so worried about Kim. She's become so withdrawn from family and friends once she started dating Lucas. So, like, you know, they were talking about it. Clearly that relationship just, like, progressed things for the worse. You know, Mary said, they said in the trial that Kim could hear my mom gurgling. So there was obviously a struggle. And she said, it wasn't until I went to identify the bodies that it really sunk in for me. I was like, I'm going to get there and it's not going to be my mom and my sister Katie. It's not going to be them. But she said, I knew as soon as they opened the door for me to walk in, I knew right away. And I remember just breaking down and it was like, okay, this is real. I don't have my mom or my sister anymore. Which would be so hard to be the person to, like, go identify them, you know? And it's like, yeah. She's really the only one, so she has to do it. Even though I'm sure they knew it was them, but still, just for, like, legal purposes. But that has to be just terrible to know that your sister did it too.
Yeah.
So police later said, you know, how Kim and Lucas had been really, like, nonchalant about there being dead bodies of Kim's family members, just like a room above them. And Kim refused to plead guilty to murder, and she instead opted for the lesser charge of manslaughter, which was not accepted, which is good. You know, Mary says, everything was really good. We were really close. The family was in a good place. Everything was really settled. My mom was really settled. The girls were happy at school. Everyone was getting along really fine. But the peace didn't last long after Lucas arrived. She said, I knew my sister was unhinged. I just didn't think she was that unhinged. And, you know, when Kim went to trial, Mary obviously sat in court to just go and watch the proceedings every day. And she says she was just completely shocked by Kim's lack of remorse for killing her mom and her sister. She says, I was expecting at least something, especially when it came to Katie. She said, with my mom, I kind of knew that she wouldn't show remorse because she just kind of hated my mom. She said, we all kind of knew that, but when it came to Katie, I was expecting some type of remorse and there was nothing. And even to this day, there is none. She said, I kept looking at Kim and I literally wanted to jump over that fence and knock her face off, basically. Mm-hmm. She said, when she did look over at me, she, this is like British terms, she had the cheek to smirk at me. So basically, she like gave her like a smirk when she did look at her, which is just disgusting. She said, she smirked at me as if to say, haha. And I just looked at her and I had to get out. I felt sick.
Oh my God. I feel so sorry for Mary.
I know.
And, you know, like, not only did you just have your family ripped from you, but the mom, I'm thinking, like, to live life knowing that Katie, Mary, and the mom are like, Kim just does not like us. Doesn't, I guess she was okay with Katie. Said she would, they were fine. But to be that mom, to know like your kid literally cannot stand the sight of you, that's so heartbreaking, especially when you're momming. You're just being mom. You're setting boundaries and rules for protection and structure. You know what I mean?
Right.
And it's just like, I mean, there's days where I probably yell at my child and she stays in her room. I'm like, yeah, she's annoyed with me. I know she's going to get over it. But clearly, Kim never got over it. And that's a horrible feeling, you know?
Oh, yeah. I mean, especially too, like, you know, she's raising them without the help of a father figure at all. She's doing everything, like, completely by herself. And yeah, that probably just like was a shitty feeling because she was trying to, you know, she had her in therapy. She had her talking to psychiatrists. She was talking to her teachers. So it's not like she didn't care. Like she was really trying to figure out ways to help her. And it just clearly didn't work.
And I bet you she was exhausted, but still getting up and doing it for her kids every single day.
Right. And so Kim was ultimately found guilty by the court, and she was sentenced to life in prison alongside Lucas, who he pled guilty during trial. But upon one of their appeals that they had their sentences reduced to 17 and a half years, and they're about 5 years in. And the pair are among UK's youngest murderers. I'm assuming they had their sentences reduced due to like them being 14 instead of life in prison. That's just what I'm assuming. But they'll still be so young when they get out, which is just crazy.
I hope they don't stay together, and I hope they don't have kids together.
And oh my gosh. God. Please no. Hopefully they're...
Please don't procreate.
Yeah, please do not. And please, hopefully they're getting like some mental health while they're in prison too, because...
And it sucks that they're going to get out and live life, but I feel like they should have like at least another 10 years on house arrest and like a very structured, organized life. And you cannot date anybody with children.
Yeah.
And he should have to be like snipped.
Yeah, for real. Oh, they should definitely not have children. And I would be scared if I was like Mary too. If like she was getting out, I'm like, what if she comes for me next?
Yeah, well, I'm sure she'll get notice, like, because they'll have to go up for, you know, appeals and releases and all that stuff. And I'm sure she'll get, usually by law, you have to be noticed if, you know, someone's getting out of prison when it comes to murder. And if she knows it's happening, then hopefully she can move, hide, change your name, hide your kids, do whatever you got to do and just... But who knows? Kim could get out and not want anything to do with her sister anyway and just been like doing her own dang thing, you know?
Yeah. I mean, hopefully that's the case because I'm sure Mary doesn't want anything to do with her. I wouldn't. I'd be like, you're evil. Especially her smirking at her in the courtroom. Like, that's just
that's
evil.
Sick. That's just really gross. Like,
yeah, the fact that she has zero remorse, especially even like her sister said, for her younger sister, Katie, like, she's like I feel like she's just like a sociopath.
Yeah.
So yeah, they have quite a few years left in prison, but I feel like just not long enough. Like they will be like so young, I feel like, when they get out.
Yeah, they'll be like in their 30s.
Yeah. That's wild. They'll have so much more life to live, and I'm scared to see what they do with it.
Well, people don't forget, so I'm sure they'll get some kind of hard knock life when they get out, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And like you said, hopefully they'll be on like, you know, house arrest or very, very strict probationary rules and things like that.
I just seen that, what is her name? She's got a TikTok out and people are hating it.
Oh, and, Casey.
Yes. And people are like, do not go to her page. Like, because
she already has like millions of followers. I'm like, why are you following her? People.
Okay. They'll say, because even when you click on it, every click you get, every view that she gets, it's money. There was another one I seen. Her name was, I can't even think of the name now. It was just the other day. Some guy was talking about it. And did a rant. This lady unplugged her baby, like an ICU, like the heart monitor to get it to stop beeping. Or so the nurses come running in and she plugs it right back in. She's like, oh, no. There wasn't an emergency. I was just wondering if you could bring me a turkey sandwich.
Why? I feel like there needs to be like a test before people are allowed to have children.
And like, then are people you are like, people are pissed and livid and like they need to take that baby away and blah, blah, blah. And, you know, nurses were on there and like, this is the problem. She's like, this happens more often than you think. And like, we bust in there thinking that this baby's coding, and then it's just for something stupid. And the lady later clicked on, did another video, and she's like, look at that, over 500,000 views. Come on, people, keep watching. The more you click, the more money I make.
I hate people.
I know. It's so disgusting.
That's terrible.
I know. And then it sucked. It's like, oh my God, I clicked and watched the video because the guy was doing a rant and then said her name. So I clicked on the name because I wanted to know what this bitch looked like. And yeah. And I watched the video. I was like, oh my God, I probably just helped donate because I looked at the stupid video.
Oh, I just feel like I want like those people to like have their accounts just like banned and blocked so they just can't get any views.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so terrible.
But she just created another name.
I know, that's true. She'll just keep going. Don't click on the videos as best as you can, people.
I know.
But it is hard because sometimes they just pop up and it's like, what is this? And then you watch it and you're like, oh, cool. I just helped them out. Then I didn't want to.
I know.
So messed up. Well, so sorry this wasn't a mystical story as we discussed, but you know, Twilight was involved somewhat.
You tried. We can see that you tried. So
yes, it led me to this. I was not having any success finding, you know, the werewolf story.
So you're saying I'm probably gonna struggle trying to find a leprechaun one?
Yeah, that one might be difficult. But you never know. You never know.
Yep. Well, either way, I don't want to say it was entertaining. It was interesting to listen to. I mean, it was entertaining to listen to, but I don't want to say entertaining because entertaining sounds like such a happy word, and this is not a happy story.
Right. Yeah. No, interesting is a good way to put it because you're just like, wow, that actually happened. But also, like, that's terrible.
Isn't it crazy? We hear these stories and we tell these stories and we're like, this is like right out of like what nightmares are made out of. And so freaking like how and why. And then you really think about it and you're like, this really happened. Like survivors are living this nightmare. Like,
it's so weird. Yeah. Because it's like, it feels so like separated. Like we just talk about them and we're so like, not unfazed, but like, I just feel
desensitized.
Yes, we're so like desensitized. And it's like, that's actually so wild that this happened. My brain can't even like compute that it actually happened.
I know.
It's weird. Actually sad. That's like sad that we're so desensitized.
And it's sad that the world has come to this. Like people are so angry. So angry right now. It's the red versus the blue, and I cannot stand it. It makes my stomach, like, but what can you do?
Yeah, just division everywhere. Yep. But yeah, don't expect a happy story next week, so. Sorry, guys. I mean, unless Lo finds a happy one.
I was like, what if I deliver, like.
It's like, you're like, we're switching it up. We're actually talking about a hopeful, cheerful, positive story.
Oh my gosh. Well, if we can meet up, then maybe we can do like a funny, like Leprechaun in the Hood or something to talk about it.
Yeah, literally. Oh my gosh. Oh, what a movie.
We watched that one, didn't we?
Yeah. That one's hilarious.
So I'll try to think of something lucky. I don't know. Maybe there's like a true crime behind the box of Lucky Charms.
Probably. Honestly, I feel like every giant brand has a true crime behind it. Probably.
Yeah. They said that Michelle Trachtenberg, right before she died, she had a book ready to be published or like a story ready to be published. And it was called The Monster of Mattel, and it was like behind the Mattel toys, but there's something behind it she was about to bring to light.
Scary. I don't like those things.
I know.
That's weird.
I feel like everything now is just messed up. Like
everything's nothing. Just evil.
I know.
Yeah, that's scary. I know, and they're not like releasing any info about her. But I don't think her family wants anything released, so you know.
And then you know, that,
but
R.I.P. to Gene Hackman and his wife and his dog, who are all dead at the same time.
Like, what the fuck?
I'm kind of curious on that one because they said it wasn't carbon monoxide. They ruled.
I know that's what I thought at first. Like, that's where my brain went. But then when they said no, I'm like, then what the heck? How does that happen?
So I did see a pop up. I didn't read it, but now they're thinking that he might have died of natural causes, and then she just killed herself.
Oh.
And then I don't know about the dog. Maybe the dog just died of broken heart and starving. Nobody there to feed it. You know what I mean? I don't know.
Yeah.
Oh, but they said I thought there was two other dogs that were alive, though.
Yeah, there was. Yeah, they had other dog. At least one. I don't know how many, but I know at least one was alive. So.
So that'll be kind of interesting. But yeah, RIP to all these people that are passing.
I know. Let's make it stop. Yeah, that was a weird story also. So I'm definitely interested to see more about that or what happened.
Yeah, for sure. But thank you again, KK. We appreciate, as always.
No probs.
Until next week, we got to go.
Stay creepy.
Bye.
Bye.